Okay, actually, yeah, I tried to do something, I don't know, so different, a little different. I mean, in the preparation, it was very different for me. I wanted to tackle, there are a couple of extremely difficult psukim regarding the incident of the destruction of Sodom and Amora and Hashem's discussions with Avram. Now, very often what's focused on, as far as this episode goes, is the tefillah, the prayer that Avraham has in trying to spare the people of Sodom and Amor from destruction. But there are a number of psukim leading up to that that are really very perplexing, very difficult to understand. So I want to tackle them. Let's maybe, what I'd like to do a little bit different, let's just read through the psukim, sort of throw out as many questions as we can, the difficulties that we have in the actual text, in the actual psukim of the Chumash, to understand where the problems lie, and then in the time that we have, try to work through some of the approaches of Rashi and the Ramban, just in terms of understanding the simple meaning of the psukim. So let's start. It's about five or six psukim. We'll start on page 80. You'll notice in the very beginning of the parasha. The parasha, of course, begins with Avraham recovering from his bris. The three angels, whom he believes, of course, are regular people, come to visit him. And the first episode of the parasha is where one of the angels informs them that Sarah is going to have a child, and Sarah laughs, and there's a discussion she did laugh and she didn't laugh, which of course we could talk about as well for a long time, exactly meaning that, but we'll leave that for another year. Immediately following that, remember there were three angels and each one had a purpose. One came to heal Abraham, second angel came to tell them that Sarah was going to have a child, and the third angel came to destroy Sodom. So immediately following, the first angel came, healed Abraham. Second angel came and did his mission, told them they were going to have a child. And then immediately the Torah moves into the third element. So if you'll begin, you look at Pasuk Tez Zayin, 16. Just to show you how this is like flowing immediately from the previous, if you look back one Pasuk, and Pasuk Tez Vav is the conclusion of the previous episode. Sarah denied it, just reading it through in the English. Sarah denied that she was going to laugh, saying, I did not laugh, for she was frightened. But he said, no, you laughed indeed. That's just, you know, that pasuk itself is not simple, but we'll leave that alone for now. That's the conclusion of the previous, then we go right into the next episode. So what I want to do again, I just want to read through them. I'm going to say nothing, and then I will throw out on our own where we find difficulties, problems, where are the questions in the text of Chumash, to see where Rashi and the Ramban are going to come in from, what are they struggling with as they try to tackle these next couple of psukim. Tez Zayin, Vayakumu Mishom Ha'anoshim. So the men got up from there, Vayashkifu El Pnei Sodom. The men get up and they gaze down toward Sodom. Va'Avraham Holech Imam Lishalchom, while Avraham walked with them to escort them. First pasuk, the men get up, they look towards Sodom, and Avraham walks with them to escort them. Pasuk Yud Zayin, 17. V'Hashem Omar, and Hashem said, Hanechaseh ani me Avraham asher ani oseh, shall I conceal from Avraham that which I want to do? V'Avraham hayo yihyeh legoi gadol ve'atzum, Avraham will surely become a great and mighty nation. V'nivrchu vo kol goyei ha'aretz, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him. So again, the men have gotten up, they look towards the dome, Avraham walks with them. Hashem says, shall I conceal from Avraham what I want to do? Avraham will become a great and mighty nation. The nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him. Ki yida'ativ. Now here the art scroll is, I've mentioned this many, many times. Art scroll openly says, we have done a translation based on what?
Rashi.
On Rashi. So, and they're clear about that. They're not pulling any punches. That's how they've translated the Chumash, because Rashi is our leading commentary as far as the translation goes. So here is a little misleading, because as we pointed out, Ramban does not always agree with Rashi's interpretations. Yet when you're writing an English translation, so the Chumash itself is open to numerous interpretations. That's the beauty of the way the sages describe Shivim Panim LaTorah. There's 70 faces to the Torah. But when you try to translate it to English, you have to choose one. You just can't leave it that way. So it's going to be a little misleading, because we already are going to be, I don't want to say clouded, Rashi is Rashi, but we already pointed in direction of the translation. The next pasuk in pasuk Yutes says, ki yida'ativ. How would you translate ki yida'ativ? to know. The root of the word is to know. Rashi, we will see, is going to translate as a language of love, and that's how our scroll has translated it. But beware that the literal translation would be ki yida'ativ, because I know liman asher yitzava es banovi es peso acharov, that because he commands his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of Hashem, they will keep the shamru derech Hashem, to do charity and justice. In order that Hashem might then bring upon Avraham all that which he had spoken of him. That is such a run-on sentence. I just want to read that again. So you try to, just in English, not to be confused by anything, but to try to understand, try to grasp what's being said in this pasuk. This pasuk itself has at least three entirely separate, we could break and talk about three entirely separate areas of this pasuk. And then, after we understand the pasuk itself, we have to understand it back in the context of what's being said. This is the third of the series of psukim. But let's just try to get the pasuk straight. Let's translate it literally for now. For I have known him, or for I know, that he, meaning Avraham, will command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Hashem. That phrase is pretty straightforward. What does Hashem know? Literally translating the pasuk. What does Hashem know? That Avraham will command his children after him to keep the laws of the Torah, the way of Hashem, doing charity and justice. In what way will they keep the laws of Hashem? He will teach his children to do charity and to do justice. In order that Hashem might then bring upon Avraham, and why does Avraham teach his children to keep the laws of Hashem of charity and justice? In order that Hashem might then bring upon Avraham that which he had spoken of him, meaning all of those blessings. So, in English that would read, Hashem says, I know Avraham, he will teach his children in my ways, which are charity and justice. Why does Avraham teach his children in my ways of charity and justice? Because then I will fulfill my promise to him, Avraham, by making him a great nation and be blessed amongst all the peoples. Back in context, that's a very long passage, back in context, again we have the men, the three angels have gotten up. They look towards the dome. Avraham escorts them. Hashem says, shall I conceal from Avraham what I plan on doing? Avraham is going to become a great nation. I know him. He will teach his children in my ways in order that he shall receive all of his blessings. Keep track of your questions. We're going to try to get them all out there. 20, verse Chaf. Just read through in English so we could focus on the text there. So Hashem said, because the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great, and because their sin has been very grave, I will descend and see. Says Hashem now. So we don't know who he's talking to. So Hashem said, because the outcry of Sodom... Now, I just want to point out something as we go through. How many times has Hashem now spoken? Since we started reading in Pasuk 16, verse 16. Right, twice. We have in the verb in 17, the men get up, they're walking, Hashem, Avram escorts them. Hashem says something to someone. What does Hashem say at that point? Shall I conceal from Avram what I plan on doing? Avram is going to become a great nation. Verse 20, so Hashem said again. Who is he speaking to? Doesn't say. So Hashem said, because the outcry of Sodom and Amor has become great, and because their sin has been very grave, I will descend and see. If they act in accordance with its outcry which has come to me, then destruction. And if not, I will know. I'm hoping you're getting all your questions. 22. The men turned from there and went to Sodom. So now we're back to the people, the angels with Avram. They turn and go to Sodom, while Avram was still standing before Hashem. And then 23, which is already beyond what we want to talk about today, is the beginning of Avraham's prayer, Avraham's tefillah. Avraham came forward and said, will you also stamp out the righteous along with the wicked? That's, of course, we could talk, that would be a whole other discussion working through that dialogue. But let's just try to throw out all the questions. We have, what is that, six verses? In the interim, in between when Avraham and Sarah are told they're going to have a child, and when Avraham begins to daven for the people of Sodom, there is this, I don't want to call it a dialogue because it doesn't seem anyone speak. Someone's doing a lot of talking. and there's a lot going on. So let's go through and just throw out your questions. Good, big questions, little questions. Let's start from the top again. So the men get up from there. They gaze down towards the dome. Abraham walks with them to escort them. Any problems with that? Questions you would have? Need some clarification?
Only one angel needs to go.
Okay, excellent. So first of all, only one is left, right? The first angel, his job was to heal Avraham. Second angel was to tell them about the baby. And the third angel to destroy Sodom. So that question already assumes a knowledge of the Midrashim, that the three angels had three different tasks. As far as a simple, which is still a fair question, I just want to point out, as far as just a question on the text, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a question, because we have three people coming. The text doesn't tell us they had three separate missions. That's already from Chazal. But Chazal are still bothered by that question, because they have told us there are three angels, each one with a different task. And you know how they answer this particular question? The angel that was sent to heal Avram was also sent to save Lot. But that's really considered one mission. The healing of Avram and the saving of Lot, that's again another discussion which we'll leave aside for now, is within the rubric of each angel's only given one mission. That counts, that idea of healing, saving, protecting, bringing back to health, however we'll phrase that, and therefore the angel which was sent to heal Avram was also sent, one angel was sent to destroy Sodom, and one angel was sent to save Lot, and therefore two of them went. That's why that would be in plural. That's the men getting up. They gaze down towards Sodom. Avraham walks with them to escort them. As Avraham walks to escort these angels, does he know what they're doing when they're looking towards Sodom?
I wouldn't think so.
He doesn't know anything, right? We know, because Rashi told us in the beginning of the parasha, that one of these angels was sent to destroy Sodom. Avraham doesn't know that. He wasn't told that. He has three people in front of him. He still thinks these are people. They're passerby. They're nomads traveling through. So he gets up to escort them. So the Torah lets us know that these people have now set their gaze on Sodom. And then it says, and Avraham walks with them to escort them. I don't know if it's to tell us, but it almost sounds as if he's oblivious to what their gaze means. I don't know. It doesn't seem that he should know what it is going on, especially based on the next pasuk, which says, Hashem says, can I conceal from Avraham what I'm planning on doing? So it sounds like we're being set up that they're gazing towards the dome, so we, the reader, know that this plan is now being put into motion. Rashi, in fact, comments that the word used here for a gaze, vayashkifu, vayashkof, always implies an evil intent of the gaze, bringing something negative upon that which you are peering upon, and that they set their gaze upon Sodom with an evil intention. But Avram seems oblivious to that. He's walking with them to escort them simply because he's had some guests and he's now escorting them out. Totally parenthetical, but it's worth stating just because it's such a beautiful Rashi. Rashi brings one exception to where the word hashkafa, hashkifu, is not a negative connotation. And that is the verse of Hashkifu Luman Kochacha, look down from the heavens. Mimon Kochacha in Devarim. And there Rashi says it's immediately following the Matanos La'aniyim, the gifts that the Jews would give to the poor people, and they would take their Maisa, they would take a tenth of their crops, and part of that would go to Maisa Ani. And the Jews would state, and we've done this, and we've done that. We've given all of our appropriate crops to the appropriate people. And then they would pray, Hashkifu mima'on kachach, Hashem, look down with blessings from heaven upon us. So Rashi comments, Godol koach matanos anim, how great is the power of gifts to the poor, shehoifech midas haroiges l'rachum, that it has the ability to switch the midah of anger, which is implicit in that language of Hashkifu, into a vision of mercy. That when the Jews say we have given gifts to the poor, we fulfill that which is required of us, it turns what is always used as a negative evil peering down, looking at something with evil intent, and it changes it to a look, a vision of blessing, and that's the one exception to this rule where Hashkifu has a negative connotation. Here it has a positive connotation because the Jews had just fulfilled gifts to the poor. That's totally parenthetical. That's one exception to this principle. Okay, let's move on with our questions. So the men get up, they look towards Sodom. Avram walks to them. Hashem said, who did Hashem speak to?
Is it possible to connect from, we don't know who he's speaking to the very beginning of the Parsha, where we're told he came to visit Avraham when he was in pain, and that there's an assumption there that there was a conversation going on, because Avraham says, you know, hold it, wait a minute, I have to go and take care of these three guests.
Meaning, and then this would be a continuation, he would be talking to Hashem. It's possible, but that would be a funny thing then for him to say, speaking to Avram, shall I conceal from Avram what I plan to do? I mean, it would be odd, you know, when I speak to my Rebbe, I speak to him in the third person. It would be odd for Hashem to speak to Avram in the third person. So it would be fair point to connect that they clearly were in some form of a dialogue, because Avram says to Hashem, hold on, I have some guests to tend to, but it wouldn't seem that this would be spoken to Avram.
I've heard her point that Avram gave up the conversation with Hashem to do chesed
right.
The three, and to bring them to knowledge of Hashem, that he actually ran away from the conversation with Hashem, which was a whole discussion in itself.
Correct.
So that the conversation was still continuing, like she said, that there was a conversation to be had.
Right, so I'm saying, well, this can't be it, because of the context of the conversation, wouldn't seem like Hashem speaking that. So Hashem says to somebody. The Ramban actually gives three approaches. He says either he spoke to his angels up in heaven, or he spoke to the three angels who were down there with Avraham, sort of saying, wait, hold on, before you go, I can't steal this from Avraham's thumb. Or, and the Ramban writes, whenever you find anyone speaking to themselves, it really means almost in thought. Ayomer Haman el libo. Haman said to his heart. It didn't mean he said anything to his heart, it means he thought it. We'll have in a couple of weeks. Vayomer Esav al Libo, a similar phrase. So he suggests, okay, so the Torah says that Hashem spoke. It doesn't always mean he spoke to someone. Vayomer Elokim vayehi or. God said there should be light. He didn't say that to anyone. Those are just his words. However we will deal with that. But so the Ramban is not bothered by the fact that there wasn't a human being on the receiving end of this particular speech. But we'll have to deal with that in the second time that Hashem spoke. And this one, at least, the Ramban says, not a problem. Okay, so Hashem said, shall I conceal from Avraham what I do? Now, if we were to start there, I promise you that I would give you a chance. Let's go through what are some problems in these next two verses. We have 17, 18, 19. Three consecutive difficult psukim. Hashem says, shall I conceal from Avraham what I do? Avraham is surely to become a great and mighty nation, and the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him. I have known him literally, Rashi's guy. I have loved him. He commands his children. Any questions? Small, big, things which need clarification?
Well, during Sadaka, he's just done that. So now he needs the opportunity to do Sadaka. He's done Chesed by being hospitable.
Okay.
Now he needs the opportunity to do tzedakah.
Who needs the opportunity?
Avraham.
He needs it for what?
Because it says he's going to do charity and justice. He's done the charity. Now, is it right for him not to have the opportunity to do the justice, which is to pray for...
You're already answering a question. You're already assuming that this was an opportunity. This is a reason why Hashem is telling him.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask that question. Is it clear in the text that this would be a reason why Hashem should tell Avraham, should not hide from Avraham what he's planning on doing? Hashem says, shall I conceal from Avraham what I'm planning on doing? So there's some reason out there that Avraham deserves to know why these people of Sodom and Amorah are being destroyed. Anyone remember, have we been introduced, to Sodom and Amorah before? Do we know anything about them?
decided to go.
We know one thing about them. We know in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk, or Yud Zayin Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel Yud Gimel, chapter 13, verse 13, it's on page 60, we were introduced to the people of Sodom and Amora. Lot had chosen to separate from Avram. Avram says, we can't get along together. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Lot chooses in Pasuk Yud Aleph in verse 11. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, journeys east, and they part one from another. Avram, verse 12, Avram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and the pitch tents as far as Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and sinful towards Hashem exceedingly. So we have an introduction in last week's parsha. Lot chooses that land, and the Torah says, and you need to know, those people were evil and wicked exceedingly in the eyes of Hashem. End of story. That's all we know about them. So now Hashem plans on destroying them. Avram still doesn't know this. Says Hashem, is it right for me to conceal from Avram that which I plan to do? What would we expect? So what we now should expect is a reason why Avraham needs to know that these people, these evil, wicked people of Sodom and Amorah, are going to be destroyed. Because Hashem is saying, it's not right for me to conceal from him, so I should tell him. Does the answer given satisfy us why Avram should be told that they're about to be destroyed? What does verse 18 say? Avraham is surely to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves for him. That's a beautiful blessing about Avraham, right? It's a praise. It's a song of attributes of Avraham. He's going to become great. Nations of the world are going to bless themselves by him. They're going to say, you should be like Avraham. Okay, that's nice. Is that a reason? Now, okay, we have a great guy. Avraham is going to become a great nation. Nations of the world will look at him and say, you should be like Avraham. Does that explain why Hashem should say, oh, this isn't right. I can't conceal it from him. He's a great person. So, alright, well, we have some evil people over here. They need to be destroyed. Hashem says, it's not right for me to hold it from him. Does that verse adequately explain why it's justified that we need to put a hold on everything and tell Avram what Hashem is about to do?
Well, just one more example of the fact that Hashem wants us, he wants our tefillah.
So what does Avram's greatness have to do with that?
Oh.
In other words, stop. If that's it, say like this. Is it right for me to conceal from Avram what I plan on doing? I would like Avram to know so he can daven. But that's not what he says. He says, Avram's going to be a great nation. One day in the future, he's going to be an amazing nation. People of the world are going to bless themselves by Avram. So 100, 200, 1,000 years from now, Avram is going to be great. So why should I tell him now? Why do I need to tell him about the destruction of Sodom and Amorah? If he wants his daven, so just tell him. This doesn't sound like an explanation of why Hashem needs to tell him.
Two things. So, Noach, information, he can't give Avram less information. He told Noach he's going to destroy the world. Why should he give less to Avram, who is more deserving even than Noach, according to commentators? And then also, how can people bless themselves by somebody that doesn't try to save, if he's like not for all the nations of the world to try to save the evil one, what kind of guy is he? What kind of leader?
So Ryan's pointing out that this might be a reason, because if he's really going to become so great and all the nations of the world are going to look towards Avraham, so then it wouldn't look so good if Avraham didn't daven for him?
Right. If he didn't care about all the nations,
What if he didn't know about it? Hashem is saying, I need to tell him because he's going to become great.
So then you'd be saying he's less than Noah, because Noah knew about the whole world's going to be destroyed, and Avram's less than Noah. He should know about the people over there.
Oh, it's just two little cities, and I just a couple of cities. Okay, that's a fair point. Yeah.
I was just thinking, because Lot is there.
So he needs to be told.
He needed to know, because he didn't know an angel was going to save him.
That he should be thankful that an angel is coming to save him.
Right.
Which is also a fine point, but why does the Chumash say that the reason, from the flow of the Pesukim, it sounds like, shall I conceal what I'm going to do? He's going to become a great nation. So that would be a fair point, but then it wouldn't.
Maybe Hashem's doing what I do and just talking to himself.
Okay, that. I mean, he might be doing that whether or not you do or don't do that. I think he might be doing that. But so we need to understand why is this relevant? Why do I need to know in the course of this discussion that he's going to become a great nation, that people will bless themselves by him?
I have one question. Earlier you said that he used the word in Hebrew. I can't pronounce it. What you said, but you said that he the two angels. They had looked, and they said it in the context of an evil intent.
Mm-hmm.
But what's evil about destroying Sodom, since it was a wicked city?
Oh, that doesn't mean evil, meaning that it was a wrong thing to do. It just means it's a bad thing.
Destructive.
Yeah, destructive. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay, let's just move on. Now, the next verse, which is still in the middle of this dialogue in which Hashem says Avram is going to become great. Then he says, because I know him. Ki yedativ, I know him. He's going to command his children to keep my ways. Justice, charity, in order that he should be fulfilled as a blessing. Avram should get that blessing. And this further seems to be part of this reason. I need to tell Avram this. Look how great he is. He's even going to command his children to follow in my way so that Avram himself shall become great. Then Hashem said in verse 20, because the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great, and because their sin has become very great. Who is Hashem speaking to in this point? What's the most obvious thing? Who should he be speaking to? Avram, right? And in the like he just said, shall I conceal from Avram that which I plan on doing? Then we have these interluding verses of, he's a great guy, that Avram. He's amazing. He's going to become great. He's going to teach his children. And then Hashem says, the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great. So it would sound like that should actually be, even though it doesn't say, that should be directed towards Avram. In which Hashem now speaks to Avram and says, listen, these people, their sin has become great. And then we have a very difficult verse in 21. I will descend and see. Right away difficult. Why is that difficult? What does that mean, right? Hashem, we've already, last week's parasha, the Torah states clearly, the actions of the people of Sodom and Amorah were evil and exceedingly bad in the eyes of Hashem. Right now, Hashem says, I'm about to destroy them. I need to tell Avram. Okay, let's assume he's speaking to Avram here. I will descend and see. Right away, whatever the follow-up of that phrase is going to be, difficult. Who's he descending to? What do you mean he needs to descend and see? And then it's even more difficult when he says what he's looking for. If they act in accordance with its outcry, which has come to me. Now let's take another parenthetical pause. What outcry are we talking about? So that's the outcry of the beginning of verse 20. Hashem said, because the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great. And that's a funny way to describe the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great. It would have been simpler to have said something like, the actions, the evil, the behavior of Sodom and Amorah has become bad. The outcry has become great. What do you mean an outcry of who? Whose outcry? What does that mean?
Outcry is like from downtrodden.
Right? So it would sound like we have to say something like that. There was an outcry coming out from Sodom and Amorah, and Hashem does not describe the evilness of the people. He says, the outcry coming out from these places has been great. Yeah?
From those few people who aren't involved in the negative stuff there, the ones that Moshe was pleading for in the mirror of just, if there, you can find just, you know, sort of...
Okay, now, he couldn't find them.
But they couldn't find them.
Remember, they weren't there. But you have to say, along the line, there is clearly, the description of the Torah is not saying it the way that it said it last week's parasha, chapter 13, verse 13, it said, the people of Sodom were exceedingly evil in the eyes of Hashem. Here he says to Avraham, again we're assuming he's speaking to Avraham, as Rashi will say, even though the Torah doesn't say so, the outcry of Sodom and Amorah has become great, and their sin has become grave. I will descend and see. So Hashem says, I'm going to have to go down there and see, whatever that means. And then he says as follows, this is where we're up to. If they act in accordance with its outcry, then destruction. Alright, so I'm going to go down and check it out. If they act, the people, in accordance with its outcry, what do you think that means, in accordance with its outcry? I don't know, it's still accurate? It's still happening? How should we translate that? What does that mean? If they act in accordance with its outcry, then destruction. And if not, I will know. What? So, I mean, literally that would mean, and if not, meaning, and if they are not acting in accordance with its outcry, which would mean something like, I heard an outcry. It was horrible. I'm going to go down and check it out. I mean, it sounds like, you know, a teacher getting a report that there's like bedlam in the classroom down there. So he says, okay, I'm going to go check it out. If it's really like that, I'm going to lose my top. But if not, then something else. So Hashem speaking now says, I'm going to go down and see. If the outcry is if they act in accordance with his outcry, destruction. And if not, if the people are not acting in the way, the manner of the outcry which has come to me, I will know. I will know what's missing from that sentence.
What?
I don't know what. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you'll know? What? I mean, I don't even know how to phrase the question. The question is, what will you know? You will know that they're not acting in accordance with the outcry which you already heard? How could they not act in accordance with the outcry which you already heard?
But he already knows
everything
anyway.
I says, what in the world does this mean? But this is what he says to Avram. He says to Avram, I want you to know I'm going to destroy Sodom. He really doesn't use that word. He said, I mean, now remember, this is all, these two psukim are all that Avram is getting. He doesn't know the background that we know. He doesn't know that one of these angels has been sent to destroy Sodom, and that's where they're heading off to now. All he knows is from here. This is the first sentence that he's getting. The outcry of Sodom and Amor has become great. Their sin has been grave. I will descend and see. So Hashem is here. Avram is now hearing from Hashem. Hashem is on his way down. He's about to check something out. If the outcry is according to, if they act according to the outcry, destruction, and if not, I will know. Right? Got it. Question stands for, speaks for itself, I imagine, right? Verse 22, the men turned from there. The men, right, we're back to the men. So, the men are here. Avram has this conversation, Hashem has this conversation with himself, or with the people, these men, in which he says, I need to let Avraham know. We're still missing the back half of that conversation, why he gets into Avraham's greatness when he tells, I need to tell Avraham. He then tells Avraham, we have no response from Avraham. All we have is Hashem speaks to Avraham and says, their outcry has been great. I'm going to go down there and there might be destruction. And then the Torah turns back, and before Avraham responds, the men turned from there and went to Sodom. They go off, while Avram was still standing before Hashem. And then we get to verse 23. Avram came forward and said, shouldn't we just drop that 22? Like, what's that doing there? Immediately after Hashem says to Avram, this is what I want to do, we should have then, verse 23. Avram comes forward and says, well, what about the righteous? Are you going to destroy them? And then have that whole dialogue. And yet we get back to the men. And the men turn from there. They went to Sodom. And now we have, the scene is set. Hashem had spoken to Avram in their presence, apparently. They leave, and now it's just Avram still standing before Hashem, and then he gets forth with his... These are difficult psukim. Okay, I'm hoping that was a satisfactory job in explaining how unsatisfactory the psukim are on their own, and we can understand a little bit where Rashi and the Rabban are coming from. There is no way we're going to get to all of it, but that's at least... these are some of the issues that they're dealing with, that Rashi and the Ramban are trying to tackle. So let's get started. Okay, let's start with Yud Zayin. I mentioned Tez Zayin. Yud Zayin, Hamachasa Ani Me Avram. So Hashem says to, let's go with the Ramban that I mentioned, he's either speaking to his heavenly angels, he's speaking to these three angels before him, or he's speaking to himself, but either way Hashem basically says, Hamachasa Ani Me Avram, can I conceal from Avraham, Asher Ani Oseh, the Hey before the word Hamechaseh is the Hey Hasheela, the Hey which represents a question. Therefore, there is a question mark here. Shall I? Is it appropriate for me to hide from Avraham that which I'm planning on doing? Says Rashi, Yud Zayin. Let me read in here so I can show you where I am up to. So, in the bottom of the second column, what's that? Six lines up. Bitzmiya. Bitzmiya means in wonderment. It's a question. Rashi's telling us this is not a statement. In other words, one might have thought to have read this, if you didn't have the art scroll with a question mark, you would have said, it's a statement. Hashem was stating, I will conceal from Avram that which I'm planning on doing. So Rashi tells us right away, This is in fact the question, shall I conceal from Avram? Says Rashi, Asher ani oseh b'Sodom, what I'm going to do in Sodom, lo yofeli la'asos dover zeh shelo midaito. It is inappropriate, it is not right for me to do this act, to destroy the people of Sodom and Amorah without telling him. Why? Says Rashi, ani nasati lo es ha'aretz hazos. I've given him this land. I've promised him this entire land to him. The Chamisha, Krach, and Halalo, and these five cities which comprise the area of Sodom and Amorah was made up of five separate cities. Shalohen. They belong to him. Shenemar, Rashi quotes the Pasuk in which Hashem delineates the borders that he's giving him, and included within that is Sodom and Amorah. So says Rashi, one full thought, why does Hashem feel the need to tell Avram? Because I gave him this land, it's included in his cities. How can I destroy his cities without telling him what I'm about to do? Rashi's not at all addressing the next two psukim. It's not a follow-up. He's going to become a great nation. People are going to bless him. It's simply, I just promised him, just a couple psukim, I promised him these lands. These are his people. How can I destroy his land without telling him? Furthermore, says Rashi, second to last line, Karosioso Avraham, I changed his name from Avram to Avraham. What was the meaning of the extra hey in the name from Avram to Avraham? Av Hamon Goyim. He's going to be the father of multitudes of all the nations. Says Rashi, Va'ashmides Abonim v'lo odia lo'av. Is it fair to destroy the children and not tell their father? Now that I've made him Avraham, I've made him into a great nation, how can I not tell him what I'm about to do to his children? These are his children. So is it fair, is it right, that I should do something like this to his children without letting him know, Shu'uo Oy Havai, he is my dear one who I love, therefore it would be inappropriate for me to do this without telling him. That's Rashi's starting point. Now we get into the next verse, in which Hashem says, he is surely going to become a great nation. Says Rashi, to Avram Hayo Yihyeh Medrash Agada, top line on page 82, the Mem Aleph stands for Medrash Agada. Rashi is going to quote to us a Medrash, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Quotes the Pasuk from Mishnah. What does it mean? Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the remembrance, the recollection, I'm blanking on the English word that I want, when you mention a righteous individual, it should be as a blessing for them. You should give them a blessing. So Rashi says, Holo v'hizkiro, since he just mentioned him, Hashem just said, you know, he's speaking to himself and he said, you know, it's not right, I shouldn't do this to Avram. Avram's a righteous individual. I should give him a bracha. And these next two verses, says Chazal, are totally parenthetical to the story. They have nothing to do with what's actually going on. It's a lesson based on what Shlomo HaMelech teaches us in Mishlei. Zecher tzaddik levracha. When you mention a tzaddik, you should give him a bracha. Ho v'hizkiru barcho. So there's a huge parenthesis that needs to be in the text according to the Chazal. This is the Medrash. Hamachasa ani me Avram asher ani oseh. Can I hide from Avram that which I'm planning on doing? I shouldn't do that. Why should I not hide it from him? For the two reasons that we just mentioned. Because after all, this is his land. I shouldn't destroy his land without telling him. And I just made him their father. It's not right to destroy the children of their father. I'm going to tell him. You know, I just mentioned this guy Avram. He's a real tzaddik. I'm going to give him a bracha. So the next two psukim says Chazal, Avram Hayo Yeh L'Goy Gadol is the blessing that Hashem bestows upon Avram because we just mentioned him. He should be a great nation. The nations of the world should bless themselves because he's going to teach his children to follow in the Derech Hashem, to do tzedakah and mishpat, and to bring all the blessings upon him. Now, That's the homiletic approach. That's how Rashi springs from Chazal, the lesson that we're... Now the Maral asks the obvious question, which you need to state here. Like, one second. Like, it's not like we're in the middle of Sefer Bamidbar. Avram has been dead for 1,000 years, and his name comes up. And then when his name comes up, all of a sudden Hashem says, Avram, let's give it a... We're in the middle... He's part of the story now. We've mentioned his name... You know, in this parsha alone, from the beginning of the parsha, Vayera Lo Hashem, Hashem came to Avram, they have a conversation. Avram's all over the place. Why all of a sudden now? Zecher Tzadik Levracha, you mention a righteous individual, you have to give him a blessing. So the Moral says, every other circumstance, we are talking to Abraham. This is the first time Hashem is not speaking to Abraham, he's speaking about Abraham. So Moral says, this is the lesson that Chazal saw, hinted at in this psukim, when you speak about a righteous individual, it's appropriate to give him a blessing. When you mention a righteous individual, you should give him a blessing, and that's what Chazal saw as being hinted at in these psukim, why they're here. Now, what that's touching on is that there's a difficult connection. Chazal are saying to us, it's not an obvious flow why these psukim would be a reason that Avraham should be told about Sodom. Meaning, this is setting up the question that I was trying to address before. When you read it straight, and Hashem says, I can't hide it from Avram, because he's going to become a great nation. What Chazal is saying is that that doesn't necessarily, just because he's going to become a great nation, why does it mean that you have to tell him now that you're going to destroy these two people? What does it have to do with the fact that his descendants are going to become great? So the fact that it's not an obvious connection gives Chazal the opening to say, well, then it must be here for some other reason. Why are these praises and blessings of Avram said here? To teach you the application, Zecher Tzadik Levrach, when you mention a righteous individual and you're speaking about him, give him a blessing. But now Rashi's going to get back and say, but we do need to find a more pshat, a in the flow, how do these verses on some level connect to the text at hand? Have I been clear? So says Rashi, upshuto. Second, I lost my place. There it is, sorry. Upshuto, second line on the top of Rashi. Second line, page 82, first column on the right, second line. Upshuto, but it's simple meaning. Meaning, in other words, Chazal said it really doesn't flow. There's no reason to praise Avram as a reason why you should tell him. However, Rashi says, but I have a reason. Upshuto, v'chi mimenu ani ma'alim, should I hide it from Avram now, which I'm about to do? V'harehu choviv lifonai, he is so dear, so loved before me. The fact that he's going to become a great nation, and that the nations of the world are going to bless themselves through him, you should be like Avram, you should have children like Avram's children, that makes him so dear to me, so special. And because he is so special to me, because he is so loved, it's inappropriate for me not to share this with him. Continues Rashi on the next word, ki yidatif. The first phrase of the next pasuk is ki yidatif, which literally meant what? Because I know that Avram is going to teach his children. So Rashi follows up this thought that he just said. Again, he's in the middle of explaining, no, this is a flow. Why can I not hide this from Avram? Because he's so special to me. How is it indicated that he's so special to Hashem? Because as the pasuk says, he's going to become a great nation. All the nations of the world are going to bless themselves through him. Ki yidatif, says Rashi. He brings lashon chiba. This is a language of love, of dearness, of closeness. And he brings a couple of psukim that prove that the lashon of yidia, of knowledge, is really a language of love. V'amnam ikar lashon kulam. Every time you see the language of yediyah, einu ela lashon yediyah, shehamechavev es ha'adam, says Rashi, a person who likes somebody else, who loves somebody else, who finds somebody else dear, mikarvo etlo, brings him close to him, v'yodo, and gets to know him, or lets him know him, umakiro, and becomes familiar with him. So that Rashi translates this following verse, verse 19, because I loved him. Why do I need to tell him? Why can I not hide this from him? Because I love him. And when you love somebody, what do you do with them? You share everything with them. You share information, you share time, you share everything about each other. That's always the key to a deep and lasting friendship, is to be involved in each other's lives. It's always that way. If you want to love somebody, so be involved. So Hashem says, I love Avraham. Why can I not hide this from him? Because I love him. When you love somebody, you have to share what's going on. Why do I love Avraham? Says, is the continuation of the pasuk of the Lomo Yidativ, and why do I love him? Leman asher yitzaveh, because he's going to teach his children to follow in my ways. Lefishu mitzaveh es bonav alai lishmor darchi. He's going to teach his children to follow in my ways. So the way the Rashi reads the pasuk, this series of sukkim is, shall I conceal from Avraham what I want to do? How can I do that? He is so dear to me, evidenced by the fact, look, he is going to become a great nation. The nations of the world are going to bless themselves through him. He's so close to me. Why do I, and Leman ki yidativ, I love him so much. How can I hide from somebody who I love so much what I'm planning on doing? Why do I love Avraham so much? Because he is going to command his children and his household after him that they keep the way of Hashem of doing charity and justice. And that's the reason why I love him so much. And because I love him so much, I therefore can't hide from him that which I'm going to do. It would be inappropriate for me to do that. Which is a follow-up. It's a little different than the first thought that Rashi had, which was, why do I need to tell him? Because after all, this is his land. If it's his land, you got to tell him what you're going to do. These are his children. I just made him the father of all the people of the world. So if he's the father, how can you do something to the children without telling the father? And then Rashi, as he continues in fitting in, and I remember, because Rashi really said two different things on this verse. One was that it has nothing to do with anything. It's just Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's totally parenthetical. Once we mentioned Avram's name, we're going to give him a blessing. But if you want to fit it into the text, says Rashi, you want to fit it into the Pasha Pshat, this is saying, Hashem loves Avraham so much, how can he hide from somebody who he loves that which he's planning on doing? Why does he love him? That's the continuation of the verse, because he will command his children to follow in my ways of doing charity and justice. And therefore, how can I hide from him that which I am planning on doing? There's a lot more there, but in my last remaining moments, I want to share the Ramban's approach, because he has a totally different approach than Rashi to this. What, did you finally get some clarity? That that's good. That means we've been doing a good job, if that doesn't surprise you at this point, that's where we're going to go with this. The Ramban says as follows. Shuto shel mikra, the simple meaning is as follows. Again, the problem that he's dealing with is the same problem that Rashi had. How is the fact that Avram is going to become a great nation relevant to the reason why I need to tell him now that I'm about to destroy Sodom? Says the Ramban, Hashem Yisborach diber bekavod Avram. Hashem is speaking to himself in respect regards to the respect of Avram, the kavod for Avram Avinu. Hashem says like this, Avram is going to become a great nation in the future. He's going to be a great nation. All the nations of the world are going to bless themselves through him. As such, how can I hide this from him? Because the generations are going to say, oh really, this guy's so great, he's your special chosen one, you didn't even share this piece of information with him. How could you not? You know, it's one thing. It's always an indication of exactly how close you are, how up the hierarchy you are based on your classified information, right? If you're not cleared for certain classified information, well, there's no greater testimony than that. That's your ceiling. That's how high you go. So Hashem says, how can I hide this from him? He's going to become a great nation. And it's going to be a statement against his greatness if I will not tell him what I'm about to do, that everyone's going to say, yeah, he's the only one there who could have done anything. He didn't even bother telling him. So if he didn't bother telling him, how much could he have done or how great would he really have been? Or, the other side of the coin, maybe they would have assumed he did know, and then they would say what Ron had said earlier, Eich nichs achzar hatzadik al shcheinov hachoinim alav. How could Avram have been so cold, so uncaring to his neighbors, that we don't have any record of him standing up for them? We don't have any record of his attempt to save them. He, this great person, we're all supposed to bless ourselves through him. Here we had a whole bunch of neighbors, people living in his land, who were about to be destroyed and didn't do anything about it. So therefore, I needed to tell him. So the way the Ramban reads, Eich ani mechase me'avra, how can I hold, how can I withhold it from him? Verse 18, he's going to become a great nation, that people bless themselves with him. And therefore, on the positive side, they're going to think, maybe he wasn't so great, he didn't know. Or, they're going to say against him, he's not so great, he didn't do anything about it. Verse 19, for I know that he's going to command his children in my ways, the Ramban says, translating it literally, for I will know he will command his children, And therefore, says the Ramban, it's a good thing. For me to reveal it to him is worthwhile. It's an appropriate thing for me to reveal it to him because I know that he knows my ways. And what are my ways? Justice and charity. Kolomar, Shani Osa Mishpat Rak Bitzak. I do justice with compassion. And I know that he will teach his children in these ways. Listen to this that he says. Im Bederech Tztaka Umishpat. If it's appropriate and correct that the people of Sodom and Amor should be spared, they should be absolved from their iniquity. Yispala Lufonai Lahanichem Vitova David. And he will pray, and it will be appropriate. V'im Chayovin Haim Legamri. But if there is no way out, Gamhu Yachpots B'Mishpatam. And he will also desire that they should get their just punishment. V'chein Roi Sheyovo B'Sod Hashem. Therefore, it's appropriate that I tell him. So the Ramban is reading, these two verses are explaining why it was appropriate for Hashem to tell Avram. Can I hide it from him? A, he's going to become a great nation, and people are going to actually look bad upon him if I don't tell him, because they're going to say either he didn't know, or why didn't he daven for them? And B, I know, translating it literally, I know, not as Rashi said, because I love him, but I know that he will teach his children in my ways, which are tzedakah and mishpat. And that, therefore, he believes in those principles. If it's appropriate for them to be saved, he will daven for them and be saved. But if it's inappropriate, he will be on my side and will desire their mishpat, will desire their punishment as well, because that's what's appropriate when you don't play by the rules. If they're deserving of such, and there's no one there to spare them, therefore, the Ramban reads, these two psukim are explaining why it is that Hashem needed to reveal himself to Rashi. So as a quick summary, what we have is as follows. According to Rashi, there are really two approaches in the Psukim. One is the Midrashic approach, which says that they're totally unrelated. Why can I not hide this from Avram? After all, this is his land. He's their father. I need to tell him. What's with these verses of Avram becoming a great nation and everyone's going to bless him? He's going to teach his children in my ways. All of that is simply Zecher Tzadik Levracha, parenthetical to the fact, homiletically, Rashi quotes from Chazal, parenthetical, once you mention Avram, we give him a blessing. What about Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple meaning of the Psukim, how does it flow? So the way Rashi reads it is, it's a flow of Hashem's love. Why can I not hide this from Avraham? Because I love him. Because Yidativ is translated as a love, because he's dear to me, he's a great nation, he's going to become the person who's going to carry my chariot, all the nations of the world are going to bless themselves through him. Why? There, since I love him, I must tell it, because the derech, the way of people who love each other, is they share things, they share their lives, they share information. Why do I love Avraham? That's the end of the pasuk, because he's going to teach his children in my way. According to the Ramban, it's not a matter that Hashem felt I needed to tell him because I love him. I needed to tell him for his own good, because he's going to be so great, and he's going to be blessed by everybody, and they're going to say, him? He didn't even daven for his comrades. He didn't daven for his colleagues. Or they'll say, he's not so great, he didn't even know. And therefore, for the covenant of Avram, says the Ramban, Hashem said, he's going to be a great nation. I need to tell him about this so that he can maintain that stature of greatness. And I'm confident that it's an appropriate thing to tell him, continues the Ramban, because of the next verse that says, because he teaches his children the ways of justice and charity. And that's what I'm looking for, that he will say, if it's of justice that they should be spared, spare them. But if the appropriate course of action is to destroy them, then Avram will be totally in my camp, saying that that's what we need to do. And therefore, it's in his honor and for his benefit that his name should remain great that I felt the need to tell. So according to the Rashi, it was because of Hashem's deep love for Avram. And according to the Ramban, because of Avram's honor and glory, that he should be that person that he's promised him, the person the nations will bless themselves with, that he needed to tell him. We got through maybe about half. There's lots. These psukim are difficult. Even what we did, there's more to say, but there are other years. Mirtz Hashem, we'll have to...